The following program is brought to you by your friends at TheForce.net.
Oh, Maxi bit the Force.
And RebelScum.com.
You Rebel Scum.
The galaxy is listening.
Unite! No, no, no! Alawa! Unite!
Welcome to the Forcecast, your weekly dose of Star Wars news and much more.
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe. I suggest we use it.
All systems have been alerted to your presence, sir.
Check it out, Corporal.
Roger, roger.
Now your hosts of the Forcecast, Jason and Pete.
We would be honored if you would join us.
I'm so excited to do this show this week. It just seems like the last couple of weeks, the news just hasn't really been...
We haven't gotten anything like new and exciting.
Really juicy.
Really juicy.
We got a lot of juice in this show. So much so that we might have to make some tough cuts.
We already have, my friend.
That's right. So if you're tuning in to hear about the latest Hallmark Star Wars ornaments, and I have to find that on another podcast.
You're just going to have to go to the website.
Yeah. Oh, yes. That's right. Yes, just go
to the website.
Just go to the website.
Don't send them anywhere.
What was I thinking? Oh, anyway. Well, welcome to the Forcecast. We are the official podcast of TheForce.net and RebelScum.com. We are your weekly dose of Star Wars. And I don't know how accurate that is anymore because we're kind of like your bi-weekly and tri-weekly dose. We're your every couple days dose.
We're just your galactic source.
That's right. That's right. And the galaxy is listening. This is the show for... the week of March 9th, 2007. I almost said Wednesday. It ruins the illusion. It ruins the illusion that we're,
we're almost live.
Yeah, we're almost live. Well, we want to give thanks to our sponsors, Official Picks. That's officialpicks.com, picks with an X. And as you all know, they are the official autograph vendor for Celebration 4. And you can now pre-order your autograph coupons. So check it out. All the details at officialpicks.com. That's picks.
Someone may have suggested you do that last week. I don't know if there's a certain podcast that's giving tips. And coincidentally, tip last week, announcement this week.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I'm telling you, man, we're wagging the dog. We really are, because now all of a sudden stars.com went and posted that PSA, the anti-smoking PSA.
Yeah.
That we were talking about, so...
So check it out if you haven't seen it.
Yeah, it's totally it's totally worth it. But we want to getting back on task. We want to thank Official Picks because they do make this show possible. So make sure you check out the details on how to pre-order your Celebration 4 autograph coupons because it'll save you some time,
lots of time.
And another point to remember is that some of the headline guests, the coupons are pretty limited. So you want to get that early. Just like Pete said last week, pre-orders. We also want to welcome a new member to the Force.net family, Carol Gilbert. And Carol has been just kicking butt and taking names. I mean, it's like every couple hours that girl's posting something.
She's all over the place.
So she is.
And she will be on one of the... that is another new member, Ann Newman, who will be at the... Collectors...
Yeah.
Booth.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Spit it out.
Yep. No, we're talking about Carol.
About Carol, who is posting. Yes.
Right. Anyway, Carol says that she's been she's been a fan since the beginning. She saw A New Hope at the theater at the age of 10 and was blown away. She's dating herself there a little bit. In the past few years...
She was talking about the re-release.
Okay. Of course she was. In the past few years, she's expanded her fandom by venturing into costuming. She's a member of the Rebel Legion and the Jedi Council member of the Jedi Assembly. So she's got cred. She's got serious cred here.
She does have cred.
Yeah, and she's done all kinds of charity work, which, as most of the fine, outfitted, costumed members of the Star Wars fan community do. She's also appeared in the George and Me documentary. So, and she's a member of OzWalk. As are we.
As are we.
Well, we were.
No, I am.
You are. Mine lapsed.
Yes.
I haven't. It's coming. It's coming. My money's That's the Ohio Star Wars Collectors Club. So, welcome, Carol. We appreciate it. We'd love to have you on the show. We don't know if you listen, Carol. We're hoping you do. Yeah. So, we'd love to have you on. We also want to welcome our good friends at StarWars.com into the world of podcasting.
Yes.
Welcome, Bonnie. Welcome, Pablo. Welcome, Pete.
Good friends of us here at the Forcecast.
Yeah. Well, Pete hasn't been on yet. He's been threatening to come on. Pete Vilmer.
Well, we're threatening
Lucas
him
Online.
That he has to come
right.
On.
Yeah, that's more like it. But Bonnie's been on. Pablo hasn't come on.
Right. Well, yeah. See, now that they have their own, they'd be slumming to come on here. So. So we may never get them on, but make sure you check that out because it was just a special so far that they're not sure if they're going to keep doing it. So make sure you go over there. Make sure you tell them that you like it so that they keep sending out more and more of those because we want more content from the folks over there at StarWars.com.
Absolutely.
And they have some great interviews.
But don't be too, you know, don't be too excited about it. Be like, well, you know, I mean, it's a good podcast. It's no Forcecast, but, you know. So, I mean, you know, you gotta rub it in those guys a little bit because I mean, they sit high up on top of that mountain and they don't know what it's like down here.
In the Presidio.
And also wanted to follow up on a story that we talked about weeks and weeks ago where the original robe worn by Sir Alec Guinness in episode 4. I'm assuming it's episode 4. I'm assuming it is. Mm-hmm. He wore the robe in all three, but, you know. I'm thinking it's episode 4. It went missing for some time, and they found it, and it went up for auction, and it sold. So the gavel came down at 54,000 British pounds, which is approximately 105,000 U.S. dollars. So I would love to have that. I know it's just a smelly old man's robe, but I would love to have it.
Well, the funny thing about it is I had a friend who's not a big Star Wars fan but is a big sports fan call me today and give me a little bit of a ribbing about the fact that somebody paid $104,000 for this robe, and he called it a glorified burlap sack, which for all intents and purposes, it is. But then I said, you know, the Honest Wagner baseball card, which is just a piece of cardboard, sold for millions of dollars. So I don't want to hear it. You're just as obsessive.
Yeah.
Again, you're just as obsessive over your Star Wars stuff. And granted, I've dabbled in both.
Yes,
but,
you have.
You know, memorabilia, no matter what it is, in one way, shape, or form, is going to sell for a lot of money.
It's like, you know, a lot of times if you read the Star Wars Insider, people will write into Steve Sansweet and say, well, what is this worth? And Steve's answer is always about the same. Well, what is it worth to you?
Yeah.
You know, obviously, for this guy or gal, I don't know who their name is, that picked up the Obi-Wan robe, it was worth 54,000 British pounds to them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, actually, now if you ask him, now that they own it, it's probably priceless.
Yeah. So, the price has infinitely gone up since he acquired it.
I'm sure.
Or she acquired it.
Did you see that Star Trek auction?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry, that's another
Of course
podcast.
I didn't. Jerk.
It's huge. It's awesome. Anyway, all right. Moving on, another follow-up to a story. We had Dan Curto and I had discussed on our Toy Fair wrap-up podcast that the Biggs Darklighter figure that will be coming out in his Academy outfit, that he was not going to have a cape. Okay? He was shown at Toy Fair sans cape, and Curto said, well, you know, it was just a production issue, and it doesn't look like he's going to have the cape. Well, this just in, folks. He will have the cape.
I have breathed a huge sigh of relief.
Well, I was really irritated that he wasn't going to have the cape. Because, I mean, it's like,
I know.
Well, why even do it? Well, why do it? You know, you still don't see Lando without his cape.
That's true.
Well,
what have we here?
Give me back my cape.
Where is my cape? I've got ladies to talk to.
Oh, and also this weekend, let's see. Oh, that wasn't supposed to be there. I thought I deleted that. Oh, the WookieCast is going to have fun with that. Anyway, the 4th annual Lake County Film Festival will be in Liberty, Illinois this weekend, March 8th through the 12th, with over 119 films on 5 different screens. You say, what does that mean for me? I'm a Star Wars fan, Jason. Well, two Star Wars fan films will be at the festival on display. A Great Disturbance, which is the premiere, the World Festival premiere, and then The Force Among Us, a shortened version, which is the world premiere of that fan film. So you want to check that out if you are in the in that particular area, Libertyville, Illinois. Well, as you know, we've been counting down the weeks, and it's getting closer and closer and closer and more exciting. There's more news every day. There's new news, more news. We already discussed last week, there's no such thing really as new news. More news. 12 weeks left, and we've been giving you tips of how to survive a convention of this size. Pete, what do we got?
Well, this is going to kick off a section on what to do in those long, long, long waits that you're going to be faced with. If you want to get good seats, you're going to have to wait in line. There's no doubt about it. But we'll have some more tips on that later. But this is what to do while you pass the time. And we'll have a couple more in the next few weeks. But this one comes from our very own Jimmy Mac. It says, take along some Star Wars Trivial Pursuit cards and play with other fans while waiting in line for autographs, panels, etc. You don't need to bring the board, although if you want to, you can. I mean, there are a couple lines we waited in where we could have played full games, but it's always a fun way to interact with other fans, get to know the people around you, and that's going to be the point of what we talk about as far as things to do while you're online. It's always best to get in and interact with all the other people that are going to be there, because you'll make some lasting friendships.
Well, and what might you be waiting in line for? Well, we'll tell you. Chances are it's going to be some panel or forum discussion potentially hosted by the Master of Ceremonies for Celebration 4, Jay Lagaya. So Jay did a fantastic job.
He did.
Celebration 3, and a multi-talented guy. He's one of those triple threats. You know, he can act, he can sing, he can dance, and he did a great rendition of the Weird Al parody. Oh, shoot. You know what I'm talking about. The American Pie parody.
Oh, yes.
Whatever it was called. My, this here Anakin guy. Yeah, yes. Yeah. I don't know what he called it. But anyway, he did a great job of that. So, also, another round of celebrity announcements. Who's going to be there, you say? Pete, why don't you tell him? All right, I'll start. Let's start with your favorite. Who's your favorite?
Oh, Michonne Bourier, I guess is
good.
We'll say. Yes, Aura Singh,
yes,
as she's known to everyone else. But
we also have Shannon McRandall, good friend here at the Forcecast, the real life model of Mara Jade, Sean Crawford, Yakface, an Amon Calamari officer, Tim Dry, who was also Amon Calamari, Rusty Goff, who was Cave Jawa and Gonk Gonk.
What if he made that noise?
Yeah. Oh, Ray Park. Can't forget Ray.
Yes, definitely Ray Park.
You and Ray have a date at C4, since he kept dissing you at C3.
That's right.
He was always,
it wasn't his fault, but
he was always out to lunch or doing something.
Yes.
Also, Bonnie Pease, who played Baru in episodes 2 and 3, will also be at C4, so, and a whole lot more. So you gotta check out theforce.net and Rebel Scum for all of those updates. Also, some news from Official Picks. They're going to have two different styles of photos for you to choose from. The first is just basically a pretty basic image with the Celebration 4 logo. And then there's another version that they're dubbing the Master Picks. And it's a brand new look. It's got a really nice black frame. And it's got the name of the film that the particular shot is from. It's just a little, I don't know, the picture itself is smaller because it's got this nice black border around it. So, you know, different strokes for different folks, but there's something in it for everybody, that's for sure. So check that out at officialpicks.com. Also, one very cool thing. Lawrence Noble, the sculptor who created the likeness of Yoda, which graces the courtyard at the Lucasfilm offices at the Presidio. You know, it's that bronze sculpture. We've all seen it. He is going to be doing on site at C4 a life-size bust of Obi-Wan Kenobi, and it will be raffled off, it looks like. So that's pretty cool. So one lucky fan is going to walk away with that life-size bust of Sir Alec Guinness as Obi-Wan. Very, very cool. Also, this was just announced as we went live with this podcast. There's the now the Quick Path program at the Celebration Store, where, Pete, you were kind of explaining this to me. How's this
going to
work?
Well, you're going to be able to, those of you who have pre-ordered your badges will be able to register to reserve shopping times at the Celebration Store. So you won't have to wait in line. You can sign up for a certain time, and there will be limited slots, so make sure you sign up as soon as possible once they've announced it. But more time shopping, less time waiting in line, that will be a great bonus for anybody who's out there and anybody who went through last year's store. So make sure you've pre-ordered your badges, because that's going to end
March 30th.
March 30th is the last day that they're going to have them, so you can they're going to be mailed to you. And then April 30th is going to be the absolute deadline. So
that's
make sure you're getting in there.
All right. That's your Celebration 4 update. We'll catch you next week.
May the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you.
The following announcement is brought to you courtesy of your friends at TheForce.net and RebelScum.com.
This is Sand Trooper TD0013 of a different point of view at ADPOV.net, and I need your help. On April 14, 2007, I will be taking part in the annual MS Walk on the Wild Side, which is a 6.1-mile trek beneath the Arizona sun, and I'll be doing it in full Sand Trooper gear. Now, until April 14th, the producers of this fine podcast you're listening to right now will have a link banner that says, "Help TD0013 help those with multiple sclerosis." This orange and black banner will take you directly to my page on the MS Society's website, and there you can make a donation to the cause. From $1 to $1 million, anything you can spare would be most appreciated. For years you've heard me talk the talk, now I'm going to walk the walk. For updates on my progress and debriefings after it's all said and done, keep an eye on my website at www.adpov.net. I'm TD0013. I'm from the Empire, and I'm here to help.
It's the Force Cast with Jason, Pete,
and a bounty hunter named Boosh.
Yate, yate, yoto.
I have good news for you, my lord.
That's good news.
Come closer, I have good news.
And your headlines this week all revolves around George Lucas's appearance at the Museum of Television and Radio. Now, we talked about this a couple weeks ago when it was first announced that he was going to be there, and speculated as to why would a filmmaker go to the Museum of Television and Radio. Well, obviously, to talk about what, well, really the future of the Star Wars franchise, and in some ways the past of the Indiana Jones franchise. Of course, he spent a good deal of time talking about the young Indiana Jones Chronicles, but there was a lot of news in terms of the animated and the live-action TV series. Well, if you go to TheForce.net and Rebel Scum, you'll see links to kind of some brief descriptions, some overviews.
Wrap-ups.
Yeah, wrap-ups of what he talked about. But we got, well, let's just say, an audio bootleg. There's no other way. What are we going to say?
Yeah.
You know, it is what it is. I'm not going to say who sent it, but we ended up...
We don't know.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, we want to thank them for sending it to us, but we did get a bootleg of the audio. Now, the quality is very poor, through no fault, really, of the of the bootlegger.
No,
you know, it's tough being a bootlegger these days, but we're certainly glad that he did it.
He or she.
Yeah, we don't know. Well, you can kind of hear their voice on there.
Yeah, well,
it's a couple of dudes. Like, God, I can't believe the 7-year-old's asking this question. God.
Listen.
Napoleon and Dynamite and
Kip.
We're
still not going to get anything sneak previewed because you keep giving away secrets.
I know. Well, one thing that's not a secret is you can go to our good friends at IESB.net, and you can see a great interview with George as he was either coming or going from his appearance at MTR. And he had a lot of interesting things to say. And when I say interesting, I think that whenever he confirms something, to me, that's interesting.
Sure.
You know, because it's all rumor until we hear it from him.
Right.
And so the first question that was posed is, who are we going to see in the animated Clone Wars series? And he confirmed we're going to see Anakin, Obi-Wan, Padme, Mace Windu, Yoda. He said there's a new character. He even gave the name. It's Ahsoka, which is a female Padawan. That is the same species as Shaak Ti. And George said, you know, he's not a real Star Wars fan, so the name of the species was escaping him. And it's escaping me. I don't know myself. I'll admit it. Boba Fett, possible, but wanted to remind us that he's still a kid. He said, you know, they're going to focus on different Jedi than the Cartoon Network series did, because obviously they don't have the same time constraints. They did ask him about episodes 7, 8, and 9. He said, nope, the Skywalker story is finished. As well as he was pretty mum on whether or not we're going to see a clip of the cartoon series at C4. My hunch is yes. Come on. We've got to see something. We know that there's episodes in the can. So, another good question that they asked at IESB was, are you going to be doing any adaptations of novels or comics? And he says, well, we're inspired by the comics and the books, but as far as an adaptation, probably not. So now, if you kind of compare this with some of the information that he gave actually at the Museum of Television and Radio, it's kind of interesting. He mentions two animated series. Now, Pete and I, we rewound this several times. And he kind of catches himself. He's like, oh, he's talking about the animated series. And he says, well, actually two animated series. And no one followed up on this.
No, it wasn't really the forum to do that, though.
I suppose.
No
one went, aha!
Popped out of a robe in the back. It is I, Fanboy. I've been tracking you down for months.
So you're saying there's a chance. All right. Well, he did say, actually, Pete, you rewound it too, right?
He does say two animated series.
Now, I don't know if he's referring to two Star Wars animated series. It is within the context of this conversation. He's talking about Star Wars. This is also kind of interesting. I mean, for a long time, we've heard this as part of the live-action series rumor mill, 100 episodes. It's going to be 100 episodes. 100 episodes are going to be written and filmed all at once. Or I shouldn't say all at once, but they're going to do a season at a time. So
right.
Basically 5 seasons, 20 episodes.
Right.
Was the idea. And now George is saying that they're planning the Clone Wars cartoon as 100 episodes. And maybe 100 is just George's favorite number.
It could just be the one that he throws out there.
Yeah, but. But he's saying that the Clone Wars cartoon is going to have 100 episodes and no network right yet.
Yeah.
Not like they need one, first of all. And secondly, I'm sure they're going to be knocking on the door. I mean, everybody's going to want this show.
Right.
He has said this is not a Saturday morning cartoon.
Right. Well, and one thing he did say that caught my ear was that I think he wants to do it with freedom to do it how he wants to do it. So that's why there probably isn't a deal in place. And he wants to do it like you would a feature. He is going to script it all out beforehand. He's not going to try and write the script the week before and then try and film it. It's going to all be scripted out before. It's going to be like a feature. It's going to be blocks.
Well,
and it's going to kind of continue on. He didn't.
Now, which one
specifics.
Are you talking about? Are you talking about the cartoon or are you talking about the live action?
I think he was planning both like that, where everything's going to be scripted out beforehand. But
because we can get into live action here in a second, because
More about the live action.
The live action, because what he's talking about, four different storylines, arcs going on, each dealing with completely different characters.
Right.
Now, whether or not there's going to be any intersection of those characters, we don't know. But, you know, so it's going to follow four different, I would assume, maybe four different main characters. He's a little more hush-hush on that. He says, well, you know, live-action series, you know, it's going to be some time, you know, before we see that.
Yeah, it was still 2 years away, so obviously he doesn't have any...
I mean, two years away from the premiere, I would think, according to the poster at Toy Fair. But that's the poster at Toy Fair. What do you think?
Well,
I think the poster at Toy Fair was premature.
No, I think we're not going to be looking at early 2009. I think we're going to be looking at very late 2009.
Yeah, fall of 2009.
If that.
You know, getting back to the animated series, and I apologize, we're jumping around as much as George.
just like he did.
I know it's kind of hard to follow, but getting back to the animated series, he was talking about the humor. And I thought that was a little interesting. He said, you know, he's being irreverent, apparently. I mean, you know, sophomoric and kind of irreverent. The words that he uses kind of escape me, but he just wants to have fun with this series. The series is all about having fun and what he says, freedom. What disturbed me at first, because I didn't see or watch the interview at IESB.net, So what disturbed me at first was when you listen to him at MTR, he's talking about, well, we want the freedom because, you know, one episode he goes, it's all about clone troopers. And, you know, that I know there's good friends out there. They're going to be really excited about that. It doesn't really appeal to me, although I did like that the one episode of Clone Wars where it was all clone troopers. That was pretty cool. I like that.
You'll get into it.
I hope so.
Trust me, you'll buy in.
I hope so. But he talks about that, and then he says, well, we're going to do one episode that just deals with Kit Fisto. And in the same context of the wrap-up that was on the Force.net, it mentions, oh, and yeah, the Skywalkers are done. And I'm like, oh, that's going to be really lame. If they have to avoid showing Anakin and, you know, by association, Obi-Wan, I'm going to be really upset. It's going to be like, you know, Droids 2. You know, that went so far out of its way to not do anything even remotely related to canon. And I know that, you know, there are apologists all over that are, you know, trying to make that lousy cartoon fit into the EU. But, you know, I never liked the heavyset dude with the mohawk. It annoyed me.
Yeah, he just wasn't a nice guy. That I think that's where it came from.
Yeah, didn't like that. But anyway, so that concerned me. And then when I heard the interview that he gave to the brief interview he gave to IESB.net, and he's talking about Anakin and Obi-Wan, I'm like, ah, oh, okay,
right.
You know, because I mean, as much as I love the peripheral characters, I mean, I really want to see more of Obi-Wan and Anakin. I want to see this friendship that we've heard about
that is alluded to so much,
and we've never, in my opinion, truly seen it. You didn't see it in episode 2. You saw glimpses of it in episode 3. But by the time he gets back from rescuing Palpatine at the beginning, and he, you know, and there's Padme to rain on everything and tell him that she's knocked up, the mood completely changes, and you just don't see the closeness. And you do see it in the Cartoon Network
series. Cartoon series, yes.
Well, particularly in the second part, you see it, and I like that. I want when I love the moment in episode 4 when Guinness is as Obi-Wan is that line he gives, and he was a good friend. And there's just
just the way he says it.
Yes, and I want to know why he feels that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I'm really hoping this series will uncover. And cool that Boba Fett might be in it.
Yeah,
you know, that's. That's cool. It's
rocketing around.
And in terms of the live action series, he didn't really have a ton of information about that. It is still sketchy. He's talking about it being several years away at this point. And he just, they mentioned on the IESB thing, well, is Boba Fett going to be in it? And that's when he started talking about the animated series.
Right. Yes,
Boba Fett could be in it. So he's really seems to be focused on this animated series. The hype machine is starting, and so I'm jazzed about both of them.
Yeah,
so.
I think both of them are going to be really a lot of fun, and I actually am very interested to see what happens with this cartoon series, because he continued to say over and over again it's going to be something like you've never seen on TV before.
Right.
It's going to be film style animation. You know, big budget film, Toy Story type animation. He didn't use those words. I'm using them, but
right.
On just an everyday series that you're going to see each week.
And he talks about really trying to capture the ambience of the film. I think that is something that they're very, very conscious of. They want this to feel as much like a Star Wars movie as possible. And I love at the very end of the IESB.net interview, she says, you know, do you have anything to say to Star Wars fans? And, you know, in this that kind of nonchalant George way says, you know, well, Star Wars is not dead and it's just going to keep getting better. I just thought that was cool. So I can understand the reluctance to commit to anything for the live action series. But I wish that I keep getting the door closed on my hopes that we're going to see, you know, real solid canonical characters in the live action series more than just, you know, peripherals. I don't know. But, you know, if you think about some of the things that McCollum has been saying about, you know, he's mentioned bounty hunters and he's mentioned troopers. McCollum's mentioned bounty hunters. George has mentioned troopers.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe, you know, that's two of the four arcs.
Sure.
You know, maybe they're going to cover, you know, troopers, which would be kind of cool. Be sort of like the Clint Eastwood Letters from Iwo Jima / and the other one.
Flags
of Our Fathers. Thank you. Where you're seeing it from both sides. So it'd be very, very cool to see kind of an overall storyline, but then zoom in on, you know, the rogue Jedi, the troopers, maybe the 501st, which would be really, really cool, and bounty hunters, and who knows what the other one might be.
Sure.
The rebellion, the early part of the rebellion or something. So I don't know, man. It's going to be fun.
The most fun, I think, that we're going to have from now on for quite some time is going to be just our speculation.
And yeah,
just,
right. Yeah.
Just all the things that
fun
we
for
throw
us.
Out there. Yeah, that's kind of how it was with episode 3 as well, as you know, just coming up with all the possibilities that it could be in, and then getting confirmation or getting things
right.
And
granted, some of it, you know, of course, y'all didn't get to hear it. We weren't doing the podcast back then, but Pete and I were still doing exactly what we're doing right now. We just weren't recording it. Talking about episode 3 every single day to the annoyance of everyone that worked around us. And, you know, it was funny because, like, sometimes when we were watching it, we'd get to points and be like, oh, I had envisioned it so much cooler. And then there were, you know, conversely, there were things that you're like, wow, I never saw that.
Totally coming. Overwhelmed everything that I was hoping.
And no matter
for.
How many times the thought occurred to me about a battle between Yoda and Palpatine, I was so caught up in the whole Anakin becoming Vader thing that I just never gave much thought. And so that part of the movie really hit me. So anyway, speaking of the animated series, there was news that LucasArts is working on a handheld game based on the new computer-generated TV show, and its sister production studio at Lucasfilm Singapore is apparently handling the development as well. Now, this is going to be the first real collaboration between the folks at LucasArts and Lucasfilm,
mm-hmm.
in the larger sense, in terms of, you know, they're doing the same thing, as George said. Why not, you know, put them together? So they're going to be collaborating on that. So it's ramping up, man. It's going to be really, really cool.
The hype machine is getting ready to be in full effect.
Right. And some late breaking news as we handle this podcast. Moving on. 30th anniversary postage stamps. You know that you've arrived. And now we're not talking about these, like, not to offend any of our international listeners, but, you know, those really strange postage stamp sets that are from, like, the Isles of, you know, whatever, some remote island where they can do any postage stamp they want. In the U.S., it's a lot. It's very stringent about who gets to be a postage stamp.
Yeah.
But R2-D2 is going to be a postage stamp. This is actually an anonymous tip that we received here at theforce.net. But indeed, they are confirming that the U.S. Post Office is going to be paying tribute to Star Wars 30th anniversary. March 16th, R2-D2 will make news in major cities across the U.S. And March 28th, the Star Wars stamp designs will be unveiled in Los Angeles. March 28th in Los Angeles. I wonder why Los Angeles. And then May 25th, the stamps go on sale.
May 25th in Los Angeles. What's that right around?
Right, exactly.
You might want to reserve your time in the Star Wars store because you may be the first ones to get the Star Wars postage stamps.
Oh, man. Stamp nerds and Star Wars nerds unite.
Yes.
Next, we're going to see a Star Wars Hot Wheels car. Imagine that madness at Toys R Us at 8 o'clock in the morning.
8 o'clock in the morning.
You Star Wars collectors, you diehards, you know what I'm talking about. Them Hot Wheels guys. They're insane.
They are.
Those guys. This is kind of interesting that fans will play a role in the production of one of the stamp designs. So we don't know how many stamp designs there's going to be, but there's going to be a vote. A la Fat Elvis, Skinny Elvis. It might be young Carrie Fisher, old Carrie Fisher.
I honestly don't believe that will be one of the stamps.
Slave Leia or...
Slave Leia.
No, I'm trying to think. She looks really good in...
Slave Leia or backless shirt Amidala. Backless dress Amidala.
Yeah, all right. This conversation's going nowhere nowhere good.
Nowhere good.
Hey, Pete, tell us about Sean Williams.
All right. Well, hey, for those of you who haven't heard, there is going to be a book by Del Rey that's going to coincide with the Star Wars Force Unleashed video game. And it's going to be authored, we found out, by Sean Williams. Some fans may recognize him as a co-writer of the Force Heretic series. So that was a pretty big announcement that, again, it's another Star Wars author that's being put back into the mix because we really enjoy what they've done so far.
Right.
So he's obviously a very accomplished author outside of that. He's done over 60 short stories and 18 novels and, you know, has been everywhere. And he's also been working on the video game. So that's also another big revelation, is that he is also part of the team that's authoring the video game. So that's part of the whole deal. So
we need to get him in the cantina.
Yeah, I think we certainly do. And we do have some feelers out there about possibly talking to somebody that's in direct contact with the Force Unleashed crew.
Yeah, the development of the game there. Yeah, that'd be kind of fun. So stay tuned for that.
Look forward to that in the future here.
All right, this next story is... well, Pete, why don't you take this one?
All right, I'll take this one.
I don't know if I can do it.
The headline is Jedi denounce UK saber ban plan. What now, this actually revolves around is the United Kingdom's Home Office issued a consultation paper ahead of legislation intended to ban samurai blades by the end of the year in a bid to protect the public. Replica samurai swords will become illegal to import, sell, and hire in Britain.
Can I just make one statement? I love that in the day and age of colossal global terrorism that could literally rock the foundations of civilization as we know it, not to sound like an alarmist or anything, that this is the best they can do. Banning samurai swords.
Well, you know,
we've got a lot of listeners. All right. I'm going to put the call out. I got to ask: has anyone been assaulted by a samurai sword? And you wives and girlfriends of geeks do not count. We don't want to hear about what you do in the privacy of your own homes. I'm talking about.
Okay. All right, well, we have to give a little more background on the story. It says, the paper notes that genuine samurai swords would not attract the same penalties. They talked about the penalties earlier, 6 months in prison and a £5,000 fine. There are also exemptions for other specific martial arts weapons. Quote, Home Office Minister Vernon Coker.
Oh, you were right the first time.
Coker. Yes. We recognize it is the cheap, easily available samurai swords which are being used in crime and not the genuine, more expensive samurai swords.
Why am I picturing Chief O'Hara from the Adam West Batman TV series coming out? People, we all know now.
The only thing I could get is...
We know where the crime is now, don't we?
As guys in ski masks with samurai swords holding up a bank.
I mean, these things weigh like 50 pounds.
Well, not the cheap, replica samurai swords.
Well, if they don't, like, what are they made of? Tinfoil? Who's assaulting this?
Or the guy walking up with a stick underneath his trench coat going, give me all your money. This might be a replica samurai sword. You know, it's just, I don't mean to be disrespectful to our UK listeners, because we do have a lot of them, but, you know, it's actually in our constitution, if you didn't know this, that we have the right to bear arms, you know, and there are people who are adamant about the fact that they can have a rapid fire assault weapon in their home because they want to go hunt deer, and we can't get them to have, and they're going to ban replica swords because somebody's using them in a crime wave.
I want to see video. I really want to see video, like on, World's Dumbest Criminals, of course, yes. On FX.
Right.
At 10:30 on a Saturday night. I want to see the video of people holding up banks. I want to see what this unstoppable wave of crime with samurai swords. Now, you're wondering, probably, the listeners, dear listeners, what does this mean for Star Wars fans? Well, Pete, what does it mean?
Well, this puts into perspective...
Am I going to have a big orange rubber tip on the end of my Master Replica's lightsaber?
Exactly. Our replica lightsabers, because, again, there aren't sans the attempt by the two gentlemen who burned themselves up in California to make their own lightsaber. There has not been a working lightsaber made. So any lightsaber is a replica lightsaber. I don't think that lightsabers...
Any lightsaber is a good lightsaber.
I don't think lightsabers and... samurai swords go in the same classification, but there are some people over there who are staging battles that they're concerned, and there are 390,000 British Jedi that fear the government's reforms. Now, we don't know where they got these numbers.
Well, the census, remember?
Right. Oh, that's right.
We talked about that on a previous show.
Yes. So, there's a cry out there that, hey, what's next? I mean, are they going to start banning these master replicas lightsabers and the...
Well, it's a lot like the
spring
argument...
The spring-loaded lightsabers are deadly. We know that. I mean, you put that close to an eye, you might get a scratch on your cornea or something.
Well, I mean, and this argument is kind of like, you know, what we hear, you know, in the States when it comes to gun control. You know, well, what's next? Okay, you're taking away samurai swords. What's next? My lightsaber?
Right.
You're taking away AK-47s. What's next? You know, my Red Ryder BB gun. Same kind of thing. So it's,
the slippery man slope versus... the nonconformists and
right.
And every inch is a battle, so
no doubt.
I just thought that I just couldn't get that image out of my head of a guy walking in.
I can't even lift one of those things.
And putting up a samurai sword and going, "All right, this is a stick up."
And then somebody goes, "No, it's a sword."
then the bobbies going, "Oh no," and sliding their sticks across the floor to him. Like, "Kick those over here."
As Robin Williams said, "Stop, or I'll say stop again." All right, we got to move on. Carrie Fisher is official as this gets, the biggest nerd crush. That's right. According to Maxim.com, the list for the hottest comic book / sci-fi character, Carrie Fisher, number one. Number two, big surprise to me, although I'm a huge fan, Gillian Anderson's Dana Scully from The X-Files. Number three, The Matrix's Carrie Ann Moss, Trinity. Also on the list, Grace Park from Battlestar Galactica, who is the blonde chick. The blonde girl on, yeah.
Gotcha. Battlestar.
You know what I mean? The one that's always talking to Baltar.
Yes.
Yeah. Gaius. That's another podcast.
Yes.
And fourth, Laura Croft. And fifth, ooh, one of my faves, Famke Janssen from X-Men, although if you haven't seen her in GoldenEye, and James Bond GoldenEye, you haven't seen Famke Janssen. Six, Terry Ryan from Voyager. Ow! Am I alone here?
Yeah.
I think I'm alone.
Yeah, you're, yeah, you're alone.
Seventh is Aeon Flux. Eighth, Jennifer Garner as Alias. Ninth, I think I'm getting these mixed up. Oh, well. Natasha Henstridge and Jennifer Garner rounded out. Natasha Henstridge from Species. And I think the direct-to-video Species movies, I think they're up to like five or six of these things.
I actually have personal information of a connection in Hollywood, a good friend of mine who worked on the direct-to-video Species 4.
Oh,
and he
really?
Said that if you see it coming out in a video store near you, walk past it and don't even look at it again.
I love it. This is a guy that worked on the film?
He worked on it and said it was horrible.
Oh, we got to get him on.
Yeah,
this is a buddy
of
yours?
Yeah, we'll have to have
him. We got
to
get him on the show.
That's my good friend Brad Palmer.
Very cool. Well, Brad, if you're listening, hello, and come on the Forcecast. The Ultra Titanium series that we said was coming to an end is still coming to an end, but it's a much longer end.
Well, we know how they do it. It's the end, but... They kind of, this is the end. If, the Doors song.
Right, right.
It's the longest song they ever made. So, that's kind of how we do things here. Is once a line gets killed, it just kind of trails away.
Well, they had stock,
yes.
And they had a lot of work that went into some of these. So the Titanium Ultra series will continue as Toys R Us exclusives. ToysRUs.com has some listings for new vehicles, including the Clone Wars Republic gunship, Anakin's Jedi Interceptor, the TIE Fighter, and a repainted X-Wing Fighter. So, for those of you that are big fans of that line, there is still hope. Well, not really.
Not really. This
not
is,
really hope.
This is just a...
There's still ways to spend your money
that's
on
right.
that line. Let's put it that way.
And I have to admit, the Clone Wars gunship, always a cool addition.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. Last story for this week, another comic pack coming soon? Well, according to Dan Curto, he says that R2-D2 Toys has another item that they've added to the rumor list, a two-pack of Mouse and Abel from the Star Wars Empire comic book series. Mouse is a Duro, and Abel is an aged clone trooper from the early days of the Clone Wars. And in the story, both are part of the Rebel Alliance and are wearing stormtrooper disguises. Would this make a perfect companion set to the already rumored Lieutenant Jundlin and Lieutenant Shan?
Could be. And I do have to give clarification, and of course, Jay Shepard was the one that sent this in. Lieutenant Jundlin is Luke's alias during this time as he's sneaking around. So,
gotcha. I'm glad to know that.
Yes.
Yeah. We can't know everything here. That's why we have Jay Shepard. That's his job. Well, that's your Star Wars news for this week. We'll be right back.
TheForce.net and RebelScum.com present a ForceCast Microcast in the Cantina, featuring
two Star Wars veterans and also founders of Red 5 Comics, Scott Chitwood and Paul Enns.
Here, Scott and Paul talk about the early days of TheForce.net.
The morning I got in and opened up an audio file, and it was the first time I think anybody outside of Lucasfilm had heard Jar Jar's voice. That was quite a surreal experience.
And next thing you know, I've got a phone call, and I'm moving my family down from Canada down to San Francisco to work for Lucasfilm.
Next thing we know, we were walking around Skywalker Ranch unsupervised. Oh. I mentioned that, I was interested in doing a comic book company one day. And it was like a light bulb went off over Paul's head. He's like, yeah.
And Red 5 Comics seemed like one of the greatest ideas we'd had and something I was really passionate about. So this is where we're at.
It's a ForceCast Microcast in the Cantina with the founders of Red 5 Comics, Scott Chitwood and Paul Enns. Debuting next week on TheForce.net and RebelScum.com. This is the Weekly ForceCast with Jason and Pete.
Oh, even when it's something normal, I hate going up to Jack's office. I always feel like I'm entering the Death Star. I expect to see stormtroopers. I'm telling you, if Donaghy does this at me, I will run.
You'll be fine, Captain Nita.
No, Captain Nita dies. He dies!
The galaxy is listening.
You must contact me.
Play back the entire message.
What message?
Message after the message.
The Emperor commands you to make contact with him.
It's a trick. Send no reply.
And your Star Wars tales for this week. We're going to start off with Kay from Florida. Take it away, Kay.
Hi, Jason and Pete. My name is Kay. I'm from St. Augustine, Florida, and this is my Star Wars tale. I'm a longtime fan of the movies and have no shame about it. When the prequels came out, I was very excited. And my coworkers laughed at my blatant geekiness. Soon after Clone Wars, a colleague struck up a casual conversation about the movie with me.
I have a bad feeling about this.
Of course, I was thrilled to get the chance to talk Star Wars. We talked for a little while, and of course, he knew less about the story than I did. That's fine, I thought. At least he's trying.
There is no try.
So we're talking about the decapitation of Jango Fett, and he commented leadingly, I wonder what's going to happen to that boy. Oh, he's Bubba Fett, I answer with a big smile, hoping to see the revelation on his face.
Well, I'm Bubba, the Fett.
He said, who's Bubba Fett? Who's Bubba Fett? Who's Bubba Fett? I felt like Christopher Walken when he met the ambiguous character named Pat on Saturday Night Live.
I'm going to jump out the window. I have no other recourse. This has driven me to a state of unease from which I cannot recover.
Fortunately, we were in a single-story building. I mean, what can you say to someone at that point? Why are you even talking to me if you don't know Bubba Fett?
I just had no tolerance, you know, for folks that right. Didn't know.
So I stammered through Bounty Hunter and leading Hanaway and Carbonite and works for Jabba the Hutt, and he just shook his head. I don't really remember. Bah! And to this day, when anyone I meet demonstrates a fundamental lack of understanding, I think to myself, who's Boba Fett? Anywho, love you guys, love your show, keep up the good work, and remember,
the Force will be with you, always.
We love you, Kay. Holy Toledo.
Well done.
Oh my gosh. Excellent. Excellent. She has, as Simon Cowell would say, raised the bar.
Yes.
On listener mail and Star Wars tales. My gosh. A lot of work went into that.
Awful lot of work.
Yeah. Kay, we would thank you so much for taking the time.
That was great.
And throwing my nasty voice in there, too. My gosh. What a treat. No, that was very, very cool and a great Star Wars tale. And, you know, it's funny because we ended up getting an email from somebody, a fan, that had mentioned that that they had to confess they didn't know when the prequels came out that Senator Palpatine was the Emperor. And I felt kind of bad because I had, you know, sort of went on a rampage. I have no tolerance for anybody that didn't know this. I still have no tolerance, but
you at least feel remorse about it.
Remorse about not having any tolerance. That's right. But well, obviously they trained up. So.
Yes.
Now, Pete, we've got one here the old-fashioned way from David. You got that up?
Sure.
All right, you want to take it?
Sure. This is David from Toronto, and he said, just like to share my Star Wars tale. It's not exactly a tale, but a moment that really got me into Star Wars. I was around 8 years old, and The Phantom Menace was just about to be released. I had seen the original films and loved them, but Episode 1 really sparked my interest in Star Wars. My aunt and uncle had taken me and my brother to see The Phantom Menace in theaters. It was one of the most exciting things, and I remember walking out of the theater extremely happy that I had seen it when it just came out. We later then went to Pizza Hut, and I got one of the toys. It was then I realized how much I love Star Wars. Thanks for a great podcast. I just discovered it 2 weeks ago, and I have to say, keep up the good work. Well, thank you, David. Obviously, anytime that it's great to hear about the aha moment,
right,
that I like to refer to it, where you just realize, you know what? I love this stuff. This is really great. And yeah.
It's interesting for me to listen to some of these because I was born into it.
Mm-hmm.
I never chose really to be a Star Wars fan. I mean, I say that maybe the Star Wars Renaissance, I could say that when I, you know, made certain decisions like I'm going to buy all the new figures and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But I mean, in terms of just getting caught up in it, you know, it was
such a phenomenon when we were children that.
Right.
It was hard not to get caught up into it.
I mean, I would imagine that it's hard to make a comparison, but I would imagine maybe it's the way some kids feel about Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Where they just, you know, by the time they were old enough to read, they had already, you know, already had Harry Potter books. And so, you know, so that's pretty cool. Now, this last Star Wars tale, it's a little heavy, I'm going to admit. And if we have some sensitive viewer or listeners out there, you might want to, or some really, you know, young children, that they might not want to hear this because it gets a little sad, but it's a great, the spirit of the message is great. And this comes from one of our favorite listeners. This is Dean in Australia. Take it away, Dean.
Hi guys. This is Dean calling from Adelaide in Australia. Just thought I'd give you a call and, give you a Star Wars tale. I was a nurse in a hospital back in 1999 on an oncology ward looking after cancer patients, and I come across a young bloke who was unfortunately terminally ill. He was probably the biggest Star Wars fan I'd come across in my professional career, and of course, me being the biggest Star Wars fan in my professional career, I struck up a friendship with this guy, and got to the point where we were sort of, I was allocated to him most shifts that I was working, and it was all about Star Wars the whole time. And the sad thing about it was that being 1999, it was just prior to Episode 1 coming out, and we knew fairly early on that it was unlikely that he was going to actually make it to the premiere of Episode 1, which was a bit of a bummer, but, you know, we tried to sort of do the best for him insofar as you know, making his life, what remained of it, as comfortable as possible, and it was all about Star Wars. You know, we were sort of swapping stories about when we first saw the original film, and through the course of our conversations, I actually discovered that this guy had never seen the holiday special, and it sort of became a mission of ours to try and find a copy of the Star Wars Holiday Special for this young guy to see before he eventually passed away. Because it sort of would fill the gap, in a sense, that even though he wouldn't get to see Episode 1, he would get to see something that he'd never seen before and he'd always wanted to see. So, to cut a long story short, we found a copy of it, and I was able to bring it into work on one of my night shifts. And, man, for a guy who was at the end of his life. And I mean, he was only 22. His eyes just lit up when I brought it in and said, look, I've found a copy that, you know, and we sat back and we watched the Star Wars Holiday Special into the early hours of the morning. And he didn't care that it was terrible. It was Star Wars. It was something he'd never seen before. And, I mean, his eyes just lit up. You know, it was wonderful. So, you know, it was just one of those things that, you know, that we could do for him in the last days. And he died the very night that Episode 1 premiered in theatres here in Australia. I think it was the 1st of June that Star Wars premiered here, Episode 1. It was a bittersweet time when Episode 1 came out. I got to see it the premiere night, and I wasn't there when this young guy died. But I spoke to his partner a couple of days later, and she said, look, you know, the fact that he got to see something that he'd never seen before, he'd only heard about it and, in fact, never believed that it actually existed until I brought it in. So I went to his funeral, and I actually dropped my ticket to Episode 1 on its coffin as it was going down. And along with his Star Wars lightsabers that he had from the special edition. Anyway, it's probably a bit long-winded, but yeah, I just thought I'd give you a call in and tell you about that. I love the show. Never miss an episode, and I'll continue to listen to it. Love you guys. See you later.
Well, what do you say after that?
When you played this for me the first time, you know, I was having a really bad day, and I was at this really... It lifted my spirits, even though it's very heavy, and it gives you a very heavy heart, but that's something I wish I could walk around with. And whenever anybody says, why do you love Star Wars, or why do you do this show, or why, you
right.
can just play it and go, it's because of stuff like this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, well, we've exhausted these kinds of topics before on the show, but I just think that it's such a great first step in creating a bond between two folks, is their passion, dedication, and love for these movies, the stories, and everything that they represent and stand for. And so, but I want to thank Dean for sending that and kind of having the courage to send that, because I mean, you could tell there's a lot of emotion in his voice. This is still kind of a rough thing for him to have to revisit, particularly because the young man he's describing is, you know, young guy, younger than we are. And to come so close to seeing it. And I have to tell you, I mean, I joked about it on the show before, but I mean it. I used to think to myself, dear Lord, please let me live long enough to see these three movies finished. Because I remember thinking, wouldn't that be horrible because we've anticipated, I mean, it took how many years to get to them?
Right.
And just awful. And I suspect that's a lot, you know, what Fanboys is going to be about. I mean, we know it's a comedy, but we also know that, you know, they do kind of tread the waters of making it an emotional journey, too. So, moving on from Star Wars Tales, we want to share this email here. This is from Dan. He's Jedi Hunter 505 on the Force.net forums. He says, hey, guys, just wanted to say I'm really digging your show and that you guys do a great job keeping the listener entertained. You guys are also really funny, which is great. Oh, glad you think
Thank
so,
you.
Rick. And I wouldn't be writing this if I didn't like Star Wars at all, so I guess it's mandatory to say that I love Star Wars, although that is actually something that I'm very proud to announce. I collect as much as I can, well with the money, and I have picked up... Oh, I collect as much as I can, well with the money that I have picked up over time, so I feel your pain.
Yes.
I also wanted to ask if there is something you could do in some future shows, or if you're planning on doing it. I just wanted to know if both of you would be rating the Star Wars movies individually or as a saga anytime soon. I listened to the late Force.net podcast with host Eric, and he gave great reviews of all the movies and touched on their flaws and strengths. He also answered listener feedback about his reviews, who either agreed or disagreed with his views. It was a pretty cool feature, and I was interested in hearing what you guys think as both movie lovers and Star Wars lovers about each of the films, and then as a whole six-part saga. Thanks for your time. Thanks for making any free time I have worthwhile and something awesome and fun to listen to. So thank you very much, Dan. This is an interesting question, and I know that there are listeners out there that have been with this show for not just the beginning of the Forcecast, but back when Eric was the host. And if you have a chance, go back to the archives and listen to some of the older shows that Eric did. His analysis of the films is just wonderful.
It's outstanding.
Great.
Yeah.
There's also a show where he does a long interview with Jay Shepard.
Mm-hmm.
Where Jay just goes through the whole Star Wars timeline, kind of like what he's doing on the intro to the EU, but kind of in fast forward. It's really a crash course on EU. But Eric did a great job with that. And, you know, Pete and I, we get into the analysis as much as we can, but this is really a news-driven show. But with the advent of our microcast, it might be something that, you know, we could do. I know that there's been some talk about maybe doing an audio commentary for the 30th anniversary of Episode 4. With ourselves and maybe some guests. That's something we're thinking about doing. But in terms of just rating the films, it'd be hard for me because my favorite changes all the time.
I would say that as well.
It's sort of like the one that I saw the most, you know, most recently. I would say that as far as the original trilogy goes, my favorite, I know this is terrible, this is sacrilege to people, my favorite is Return of the Jedi. And I think I've said it before. I think it's because it was the first one I remember really, really seeing. I mean, really seeing. And of the prequels, probably Sith. I don't know. It's a little harder for me to pick with those because they just seem like really one, especially with 2 and 3, they just seem like one long story. It's hard to kind of pick those apart. But, I mean, I guess over the course of listening to our show, you're going to get an idea of what our feelings are for the both trilogies, the whole saga, and all the films individually. But love the idea, and it's something we'll think about. So thanks a lot, Dan. We appreciate it. Well, that's going to do it for us. Another show. Come and gone. This one went fast.
Went real fast.
Last couple of weeks, man, I was tired. But I was so excited to do this show.
I was jazzed for tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. Want to thank my wonderful co-host, Pete. You know, we've thanked a lot of people on this show, and I've never thanked you. So thank you for always being here. Thank you for the microcast that you released earlier this week. And I want to let everyone know that your interview with the founders of Red 5 Comics, as you heard Jimmy Mack mention earlier in the show, is going to premiere, should be, well, very soon, like early next week.
Yes.
So Monday, maybe.
Monday.
I hate giving a day because you just never know what could happen.
But right.
Expect that early next week. Also, we want to make sure that you keep digging us over at dig.com, the social news rating site. And they also are rating podcasts over there at dig.com/podcasts. Also, reviews on iTunes. We've seen a lot of new reviews coming up, but we still need more because I'd really love to get our show on the kind of the podcast homepage at iTunes. That'd be great.
And, of course, please, please, please keep sending us your feedback, your Star Wars tales. We love hearing them. You can send them to us via email at podcast@theforce.net. Or if you want to leave us a voicemail, you can. If you've got Skype, you can Skype us at username Forcecast. Or dial us up the old-fashioned way at 330-871-4TFN. And make sure you're checking out our official forums at rebelscum.com. We've got another contest that may be popping up soon, so make sure you're checking that out on a daily basis just to see what you might or might not be missing.
Well, and if you missed our Allegiance Winners microcast earlier this week, you want to make sure that you go back and check that out. Congratulations to all of our winners, and thank you to Wordsmith's Books, who provided the 2 autographed copies of Tim Zahn's Allegiance. Also, thank you to our sponsors this week, Official Picks. Thank you, Jimmy Mack. Thank you, Dustin. Thank you, Jay Shepard. Thank you, Dan Curto. And all of you and all of us at TheForce.net and RebelScum.com. For The Force Cast, I'm Jason.
And I'm Pete.
And remember,
the Force will be with you. Always.
This podcast is not endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or 20th Century Fox and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The official Star Wars site can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names and sounds of Star Wars characters, vehicles, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of the Force.net LLC unless otherwise indicated.